Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. I've been asked to draw your attention to the announcement at the bottom of the bulletin regarding event tonight put on by Storm. Meet a missionary at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall 101. So I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of that. Please join me then in the responsive reading of the opening prayer. Almighty God, stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Attend us with your grace in all temptations. By your Holy Spirit, keep us in your word, that we may be delivered from the adversary and obtain eternal salvation. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. Our scripture reading today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. When I was a child in my home church, there was a woman who had apparently been born with one leg quite a bit shorter than the other, and because of this, had to wear different braces on her legs growing up and different types of shoes and things, and it had made her life rather difficult. She'd suffered with this for most of her life. She was now an adult, probably from my recollection in her 40s or so. And a friend of hers one day talked her into going to see a faith healer. There was a faith healer up in Mason City, Iowa, that claimed to be able to do and perform miracles. And so the story goes that she went to meet this man and talked to him for a while. And apparently he tried, through prayer and different things, to heal her and make her leg longer and so on, but failed. And he finally said to her, "I think the problem is that you don't have a strong enough faith. I think the problem is that your weak faith is, in a sense, getting in the way of God performing a miracle." And he really put the suffering back on her as to the fact that maybe her trust in God was not strong enough. It's a false assumption, of course, to think that suffering in the world means that you have a weak faith, or somehow as if your life's going great, that means you must have a strong faith then. That's not the way things operate in the kingdom of God. Christ never made a person's faith the reason for whether he had power or not to perform a miracle. There are times when he would commend people for their faith, when he would perform a miracle, that's true. But Malchus was one of his enemies. Talk about having no faith, coming to arrest him. And yet Christ put his ear back on his head miraculously. So that woman came back from that meeting very dejected and came to talk to her pastor, who had to recorrect the false thinking and theology of the so-called faith healer. On a human level, we might approach problems in our lives and things that we have to suffer through and look at our lives as maybe not being a whole lot different than some unbelievers. A lot of people go through difficulties and troubles in life. But God would have us also view any difficulties we go through from a spiritual and a heavenly perspective, with a heavenly understanding, and through the eyes of faith, based upon the revelation he has given us in his holy word. The believer is invited to look at anything that happens in your life, any persecution or trouble or hardship, anything that you have to go through, as part of God's overall concern and love for you, and understanding that he always has your ultimate, final, good, and best welfare in mind. And so God frequently permits his believers to go through trials. Just about everybody mentioned in the Bible that we have any significant history about in Scripture seems to give us stories of some challenges and difficulties that they had to go through. And pastors will tell you, too, that with their members, when they have to go through the most difficult things in their lives, maybe a health concern or something with one of their children and so on, that quite often it ends up becoming a time of great strengthening for the individual's faith. So God looks at your life and my life from a very different perspective than we might. He has oversight ability. He has eternal sight ability to be able to look at things in a much longer contrasted form. And he also has the ability to control and direct and guide all history in front of us, the very things that might intimidate us and might make us fearful and afraid and confused. God is able to look ahead at all of that and understand it. I'd like to read a quotation from a great devotion book by a Norwegian pastor, Bishop Locke, and this is what he says. Thousands who are in heaven would have been in hell if their tribulations had not taught them obedience to the word of God. That's an interesting perspective. How many people are there that will be in heaven that, were it not for tragedy, difficulty, sorrow, trouble, maybe would not have ended up there? Sometimes people go to their medical doctor, and the medical doctor is able to examine them in a completely different way than they would know, through x-ray and MRIs, whatever, different types of things, and able to determine what he knows is going to be best for their health and their welfare. And yet the patient can't be talked into following that treatment. And really, at that moment, the person who's the medical doctor has a greater understanding and perspective on what is really best for them than the patient does. And that's maybe a way to think of it sometimes with us, with our lives, that God has a much better perspective on what's going to be beneficial for you and me in our faith life and in the things that we need to maybe go through in this world and life in order for us to end up in heaven someday. But we might disagree, and we might even argue with God, and we might even blame God for some of the difficulties that he let them then come into our lives. But Paul is arguing for us here from what we might call the greater to the lesser. If God has taken care of your greatest problem, the greatest issue, and that is letting you through the doors of heaven someday, certainly we can trust him as well for the lesser things in life, as big as they may seem. Listen to what he says again. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not, along with him, also freely give us all things? If the one who's in charge of all history, the one who knows and lays out all destinies, the one who determines exactly how long each person's life should be, including yours, right down to the nanosecond, if that very one who has taken the mission upon himself to send his son into the world, to come into this world and atone for your sins by shedding his blood, if he has made sure that his son suffered hell so you would never have to feel that, if he has sent his Holy Spirit into your heart to cause you to believe in that and to trust in that, and he's given you all of these wonderful promises through 66 books of Scripture, don't you think we can trust him for the other things that we have to face in this life? If he is on your side, the greatest thing in existence is God. If he is on your side in all of this, certainly we can trust him. The biggest possible problem you could ever face in your life is not just your death, it's what could happen to you after death. And he's taken care of that fully, completely, through the work of his son. So why should we doubt him for anything else? About 100 miles west of London, there is an enormous maze made out of shrubs, out of hedges. It's called the Longleat Maze. It covers 1.7 miles of property, and it's the biggest maze in the world, and you can go in there and get caught up in this labyrinth and get lost in there. But imagine someone flying a drone over your head, looking down on you, that understands the whole pattern of the maze. That's sort of how God is with our lives. We're in the middle of the shrubs right now. We're in the middle of the hedges. And it seems sometimes difficult to know, why does my life have to go this way and this way? Why did this happen to me? And yet God always has this high up above eternal perspective. He knows exactly how he's going to guide everything in our lives to bring us finally to our eternal home. So the Lord holds out his promises to you and says, trust in me for all things, and he will bring it to pass. Amen. Please rise for prayer. I have thy word, Christ Jesus, Lord. Thou never wilt forsake me. This will I plead in time of need. O help with speed when troubles overtake me. Amen.